Here's the thing. Ever wonder why aspiring authors spend so much time trying to crack the code about how to get published? That's because no one who's in the daily grind like me has put all the pieces together in one place. It's Carly Waters here, and as your senior literary agent on the podcast with 15 years of experience in publishing, selling books, and teaching the business of publishing, I'm here to give you the clarity that will turn this hobby into a career. Inside my course, The Author's Publishing Playbook, we have monthly live Q&A sessions to cover your specific issues. But for the rest, there are over 40 video lessons that equal 10 hours of learning with professionally edited transcripts. The course will solve all your writerly problems, except write your book for you. That's on you. My course is a masterclass designed to teach writers how to prepare, pitch, publish, and promote their book in today's competitive publishing landscape. It's for career-driven writers, aspiring and published, who want to understand how to succeed in the business of books. There are over 20 worksheets, downloads, and plug-and-play templates for editing, querying, and marketing. You get lifetime access for the entire 6-module course as soon as you purchase. As new content gets added, you have access to that as well. Don't forget, there's a mobile app on top of computer access you can learn on the go. Get started today to gain the career you've only dreamed about. And you guys get a discount. So at checkout, carlywaters.com/course, use code POD15. That's code POD15 when you check out for 15% off. That's carlywaters.com/course. Use code POD15. That's code POD15 when you check out for 15% off. See you inside the course.
Hi everyone, this is Cece. If you're a fan of books with hooks, then you've probably heard me use the term interiority. I often catch myself saying things like, these pages need more interiority, or the interiority here needs work. And that's because interiority is a super important element of storytelling. It's what makes books unique. But as it turns out, a lot of you have questions about what exactly is interiority and how to properly weave it into stories, which is why I'm teaching my popular Writing Interiority class in a new 2-day format. We'll meet on Thursday, June 6th at 8 p.m. via Zoom to cover all things interiority, including the difference between interiority and emotions, how interiority is different from telling, how to leverage interiority into plot points, how to strike a balance between interiority and mystery, and more. And then we'll meet again for a live cozy Q&A session on Monday, June 10th, also at 8 p.m. via Zoom, in which you'll have the opportunity to turn your camera on if you choose. If you're interested, check out the link in my bio on Instagram, and I hope to see you there.
Hi there, and welcome to my show, The Shit No One Tells You About Writing. I'm your host, Bianca Murray. I'd like to begin today's episode by thanking all of you for listening to the podcast and for all the wonderful feedback that I've had about it. If you're enjoying it, please subscribe and leave a review if you can, and spread the word to all the writers that you know. Today's episode has got two sets of guests who write together in writing partnerships. The first guests have been best friends for over 30 years. They're the co-authors of 7 novels, including The Two Lila Bennetts, Girls Night Out, The Year We Turned 40, The Status of All Things, and Your Perfect Life. Their suspense novel, The Good Widow, was an Amazon Charts bestseller. They also host the popular podcast, We Fight So You Don't Have To, and are monthly on-air contributors on their local news with Liz and Lisa's Book Club. It's my pleasure to welcome Liz Fenton and Lisa Steinke. I love following you both on Instagram. The two of you look like you have so much fun together, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you're selling books or writing books or just being together or at each other's weddings or whatever. You give me serious envy, and you make me want to rush out and find my bosom writing pal. And I know that this is not just, you know, for social media. I know that this is real. So could you tell us how this amazing writing partnership started?
We met in high school, so not very long ago. Kidding. We met in high school and just connected. We were actually just talking about this morning because Liz's daughter just started a new high school. And I was remembering when I started, because I started new to the high school as well. And Liz was in the group that I initially met. And so I just, from then on, we were best friends and we went to the same college together and rushed the same sorority and seemed to do all the same things. And so we've been together ever since, been like 34 years or something like that. No.
That's amazing. And hopefully Liz's daughter finds a similar group herself so that one day she could look back on it as fondly as you're reminiscing now.
That's the hope for her. It's actually the same high school too.
Right.
It's so weird to drop her off at like where we went to high school. And it looks exactly the same. It's creepy.
Were you both writers to begin with? Because most writers that I speak to started off writing as children. They loved words. They loved stories as children. That's the commonality. And they kind of scribbled in journals or they wrote really bad poetry in high school and things like that. Were you both separately writers or was this something that happened together?
So we both, I think one of the reasons that we ended up becoming close is we both love to write and to read. I know we have a podcast as well. And I know on the last time we were going through our old journals and Lisa read some of her bad poetry that she had in the journal. But yeah, I think it's something that we bonded over, but we weren't, you know, these huge writers. I mean, we loved to write. We loved to read. We went to college. We had a class together where we had to write like a one act play together. And then I think that kind of sparked the idea, like, could we do this together? Which is so weird. It sparked that idea because we almost killed each other. Like we wrote it on, I had an IBM or like a Brother like word processor, not to age us. And we literally like almost killed each other. And this, I think, really defines our friendship. But that was a pretty terrible experience. And then we're like, let's write a book together. Like, I just we're really weird like that. But it wasn't until about 10 years after college graduation that we began seriously writing together.
And again, how does that happen? Because I think of myself, I have some wonderful friends who I love dearly, but like, I won't even share my fries with them. And you know, I kind of feel like I'm Joey from Friends. It's like, I will buy you a plate of fries, but don't eat the damn fries off of my plate.
In the same way.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know. Because
it
gives the impression that you kind of share everything. And so I think about how territorial I am over my work when I write it and then I'm nervous to share it with my writing group and they critique it. And then I sit there muttering darkly about all the changes they made. So how do you do that with somebody else? How do you take this very, very creative process and meld it into something that's really functional, clearly efficient, and that works for the both of you?
I wish I could tell you that we actually had a plan before we started this, but I think the reason we've made it this far is that we didn't. I mean, we just jumped in, didn't really look where we were jumping, and just figured it out along the way. And maybe that was because we had been friends for so long, or maybe that's just how we came together to do it. But it really worked really well for us. And I do think our friendship has a lot to do with how we're able to write together, meaning how we're able to sort of be a chameleon and take on the other one's narrative if she were to start, just because we've known each other so long. But yeah, we didn't plan it at all. And we, a few books ago, had sort of a, you know, everything kind of came to a head because we hadn't planned it. And that was when we really sat down and said, okay, how do we do this? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What's your personality? What's my personality? And from there, we've been a lot stronger.
And I imagine that communication must be key because I just think of normal friendships and kind of passive aggressive issues that can arise if you don't communicate when you're irritated with somebody. So in terms of that, what are each of your strengths? And how do you play to them?
Well, we're really different. And I think like it's probably our best and worst attribute as a writing team. So I think like where I'm strong, like she's weak and vice versa. So I'm definitely more big picture. And, you know, I think Lisa's definitely more detailed oriented. And so I think that, you know, when we're writing, Lisa's really good at keeping us on track with like our structure. And, you know, I'm a bleeding heart. So I would say, and I think Lisa would agree, like the bleeding heart moments, I usually will, you know, tap in there. So I think But I think one of the reasons or one of the lessons that we've learned over the years, because we're both really type A, is rather than be defensive about what we're not good at, be embrace what the other person is good at that you're not good at. And I do think because of our egos as humans and particularly as writers, I think it took us some time to get to that place where I'm like, you know what? It's okay if I'm not detailed. Like, I'm not going to be defensive about that. Because, you know, there's things that I'm good at, you know, right, Lise? Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that was a very well said, Liz. One of your strengths is saying things well.
Oh, thank you.
That's so unusual for a writer. So, Lisa, what are your strengths, do you feel?
I mean, I agree with her. I'm very detail-oriented. And the way that that works well for our team is she has come up with a lot of our ideas for the books we've written. And she's much better at that than I am. Like, the ideas will just pop in her head, whereas I have to literally sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and, like, think of ideas. And so when she comes to me with an idea, I think where I'm good is I can think about, okay, how are we going to execute this idea? Like, what I break it down like to the characters. And because I think I'm just better at seeing the story in that way. So that's worked really well for us, I would say.
And in terms of weaknesses, so for me as a writer, I excel at dialogue. As I've told my listeners before, it's because I love eavesdropping. I'm a terrible spy. And that helps a lot with dialogue. Things that I was not good at all in the beginning with things like writing scenery, writing description, because those are things I don't care about when I'm reading. I kind of just gloss over that. Mm-hmm. So what are each of your weaknesses?
I mean, I would say the descriptions would be a weakness of mine, but I think we both are good with dialogue. I think it's scenario specific. I think there's certain like scenarios I'm better at dialogue.
You mentioned the bleeding heart thing. Like if there's a scene where somebody's dying or something, she's really good at that. Whereas I think I have a strength in the more like suspenseful scenes that we've written in some of our books, like someone like coming after you. And I don't know where I get that from. No one's come after me with a knife. No one's like, thank God. But yeah, so that helps, you know, because when you're writing a book and a lot of different things happen, to have another person be able to take on that section of the story works well for us.
It's another thing I'm envious of, because there will be scenes as a writer that you sit down and you plot your novel and you realize that there's this big scene coming up and it's one that you're terrible at. So if you're not good at the warm, fuzzy kind of kumbaya moments, you're like, ugh, I've got to write this whole emotional scene. And so you put it off. And if you're bad at, you know, action-packed suspense, then you kind of also put that off. So I would love to get to a certain scene and go, ugh, I'm going to be terrible at this. Yeah, you do it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know, like if I'm writing a suspenseful scene, like I know Lisa's going to go in and put a gloss on it. And I think she knows, you know, she's can be a little emotionally unavailable. So sometimes those
I have to dig really deep. Like I have to have been personally gone through. I have to personally have gone through what the character's going through, or else it reads really flat. Like I'm trying to do what I think emotional people will do.
Happy. Like, and you're not sappy at all. And I am definitely the sappier of us. But yeah, I mean, you know, in our suspense novels, The Good Widow and Girls' Night Out and Lila Bennett, I mean, Lisa's touch on those scenes were really, really important. I have a hard time writing that, like, it's really making your, like, heart beat. Like, that is very difficult for me. To get that pace.
And those are such different scenes. Getting readers to cry is one thing. Getting readers to kind of start biting their nails and shift around uncomfortably, that's a whole other talent over there.
We just registered my youngest kid for kindergarten. I cannot believe it. One of the tricky things about my kids being in French immersion school and not having French as a language myself is I'm honestly worried about how I'm going to assist with homework as they get bigger. They're young now, but I see it coming. We are honestly so lucky, though, to live in a city that's bilingual, and we have bilingual friends and Francophone friends. So I know it's going to be easy for our kids to pick it up. Me, on the other hand, I am worried about me. I grew up somewhere where French class was not taken seriously, and now I have to make up the difference. And that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, It really immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone teaches through immersion, which is a proven way to learn a language. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals, reading stories, participating in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast track your ability to communicate fluently. There are no English translations in the product. You're honestly getting trained to listen, speak, read, write, and think in your new language, which is what everybody wants. Rosetta Stone users especially love the speech recognition feature. As you practice speaking, Rosetta Stone uses advanced voice recognition technology to match your audio, the audio from native speakers, and then give you feedback on how well you're pronunciating the words so you can really hone those pronunciations. It offers 25 languages from Spanish, French, Italian, German, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. This is the best language program because they have been an expert in the language learning field for 30 years and used by millions. Thousands of companies and government organizations use Rosetta Stone to support language training online. Of all the apps, Rosetta Stone uses the best speech recognition technology, so it compares your sound waves to those of a native speaker for better feedback to improve. They have a patented speech recognition engine called True Accent, which is built into the program. As you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronunciating words. The other language learning apps use speech recognition to detect what you said, but Rosetta Stone tells you how well you said it compared to native speakers. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Think about the cost of a one-month language course. Think about the cost of one-hour private tutoring sessions. With Rosetta Stone, you enjoy lifetime membership and accessibility on desktop or app. We have a special offer for you guys. That's 50% off. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses on Rosetta Stone for 50% off. This is a steal. Do not put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Shit No One Tells You About Writing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. We want you guys to go visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Are you looking for beta readers, some of whom might potentially become writing group members down the line? Are you wanting to be matched up with those writing in a similar genre or time zone so they can critique your work as you critique theirs at the same time? Your manuscript doesn't have to be complete to sign up for this 3,000-word evaluation. This particular matchup will be open to registrations from now until the 2nd of June, with the matchup emails going out on the 3rd of June. For more information and to register, go to biancamaray.com, look for the beta reader matchup page, and please spread the word. The more writers we have signed up, the better the matches will be. So Lisa, again, back to a friend's reference, you kind of make me think of Chandler, who's dead inside.
Thank you, I think.
So in terms of practicalities, when you begin a novel, do you two get together because you don't live far away from each other? Do you get together and start plotting it out? Do you brainstorm, etc., or do you do most of it kind of via email or online, chatting with each other via Zoom? How does the process work, and has that changed with COVID?
We began when we both lived in Southern California. And even then, we didn't get together a lot, but we got together a lot more than later. You know, at one point, we read through an entire book we had written out loud. Liz reminded me about that the other day. I cannot believe we did that. And I think I blocked it out because she told me, I said, are you sure we did that? I think we were spending too much time together. And so then we kind of went the other way. And when I moved, we definitely couldn't get together unless we planned a trip, or I was coming out to California, or she was coming to Illinois. So we learned to kind of do it all over email or phone. And now we're sort of in that place where we might get together in the beginning of the book, but really most of it's done in our own separate worlds, even before COVID.
I always like finding out a writer's process. And when it comes to two of you together, that synergy and the dynamic you have to me is even more fascinating. And I love how these days so many more writers are doing writing partnerships. I remember the first time I read a writing partnership. It was PJ Tracy. It was the mother-daughter duo who were writing the Monkey Wrench series together. And they lived in different states and they would kind of email backwards and forwards. And that seemed so weird to me. And now there's just more and more writing duos coming up. Is it not more complicated in terms of having agents, in terms of the admin and the behind the scenes things. Do you each have separate agents, or are you both represented by one agent? How does that work?
We each have the same agent, and we make the same money, and it's just everything's sort of just divided down straight down the middle for us. I would say the one thing I have heard, I was just thinking when you were talking, is the writing duos, I think, that have written separately first and then come together, they have a lot more challenges because they're used to doing things a certain way. And for us, we hadn't written solo before. And so we just kind of figured out our way. So I actually find it really amazing that some of these duos can come together and write after they've written separately. And then some of them even also write separately while they're writing together, which again, fascinates me and amazes me. That's so much talent to be able to do that.
Thank you so much, Liz and Lisa, for joining us and for sharing such valuable insights with us. And now for our second lot of guests. Liv Constantine is the pen name of best-selling authors Lynn Constantine and Valerie Constantine. Their debut thriller, The Last Mrs. Parrish, was a Reese Witherspoon book club selection, a People magazine book of the week, a Target book club selection, and is in development for television. Their second book is The Last Time I Saw You, and their third book, The Wife Stalker, was published last year. Lynn and Valerie are national and international best-selling authors with books available in over 32 countries. Valerie and Lynn, could you give us some insight into how your writing partnership works?
Computers and technology has made it so easy to feel like you're in the same room. We speak every morning and we have our assignments. We have a word count that we want to maintain daily or certainly weekly. And then we assign our scenes and we each write and we come back together at the end of the day, send each other what we've written, and we edit each other's work. And Lynn, I can move over to you and you can elaborate if there's more to elaborate on.
As Valerie said, we're like, right now we're in the beginnings of our fifth book. And so we kind of know here's the world that we're going to be in and generally who our characters, and this is the major twist. But then a lot of time go back and forth about different aspects of the story. And, you know, and even recently with the one that we're doing now, we kind of changed a major plot point. And so we play around with that, with brainstorming and talking and thinking about it. And it can be anywhere from two to three weeks to 6 weeks, but again, on our time constraints. And then once we have a solid idea of really where we're going, then we begin the writing. And we don't plot. We like to say we're not plotters and we're not pantsers, but we call ourselves plancers because we kind of know where we think we're going to end up. We know the beginning, but anything can happen in between. And even the ending can change at times. So once we've done that sort of thing, then we assign each other scenes. And as Valerie said, we'll talk in the morning. We'll write, and then we usually talk again and trade what we're doing. So it'll kick off at 8, say it's Monday, 8 in the morning, and 4 o'clock we'll trade our emails back and forth. And then from that point, it's usually an afternoon call because we'll spend the next day. We know what our assignments are. And a lot of times I'll write a scene and I'll write half of it, and then I'll email it to Valerie and say, do you want to finish this? And, you know, and vice versa, which is really helpful because there are times when you just kind of get stuck or it becomes stale and the other person can pick it up. And then there are other times where you don't know where to start. So it's great if you've got something that's already started. And we just go on and on like that all the way through. And we allow each other the freedom to diverge from what we've talked about. So if all of a sudden I'm writing a scene that we had conceptualized to go one way and I'm inspired to take it in a different direction, I just go ahead and do it because I know that if I'm veering in the wrong direction, we can fix it in editing and, you know, we'll talk about it. And I'll just say to Valerie, you know, well, I know we said this, but I really felt like the character was going that way. And often, really more often than not, it ends up being fine. You know, the other person mm-hmm. will say, you know, that, yeah, okay, I can go along with that. And so it just goes on like that until we finish our first draft. And then we typically take a little time off and then we go through two or three renditions and drafting and changing before we hand it off to our editor.
Have you ever had like a moment where one of you have really dug in your heels and felt super strongly about something that the other one didn't really agree with? Because I think of me and I can be so stubborn. And sometimes, you know, I have a vision for something and my agent will go, could she not be this? Or could she rather be this? And I'm like, no, this is how she is. And, you know, it's so silly because it's fiction. But as writers, sometimes No, I know that when I imagine something, it's so clear in my head, and I wonder how you can convey that to somebody else. Have you ever had moments where you've really kind of been stubborn about something, or not really? Or you're both just lovely people who never butt heads?
We are lovely people.
I believe it. You are deranged, sexy, lovely people.
We had two times.
I mean, we have had a few. I think when we were had an idea and we kind of were like a little bit close-minded about it. But I think after you work with an editor, you learn to have to be flexible and to be open to that. And so now that we're approaching our fifth, actually really our sixth book, even more, because we had a couple that we put aside, we were in like seven books together. So at this point, we're both very open-minded. I mean, and again, even though, as I said, this latest thought we were going a certain way. And Valerie, we both kind of thought, well, we're not sure. And she said, I want to present you with a different thing. And maybe if it was our first book together, maybe I would have thought, oh, that isn't what we talked about. But I just say to myself, all right, just have an open mind. Like we both are on the same page that we want the best book.
Right.
And we want the most, you know, innovative and all of that. So I think as long as you can go in with that and clear your mind of saying it has to be what I of, then it just becomes easier. And we talk it through. And certainly there are, you know, we'll have a difference of opinion. Well, no, I think she should be this or that. And then we'll just continue to discuss it until we come to an agreement. And so far, I think we both have been able to put our ego aside.
And you really have to when you're working with someone else. And I think, and we've said this before, that if that were something that happened a lot, it wouldn't be fun anymore. And we really do have a good time. We have a lot of fun writing together, and that would ruin it. So I don't think we would be on book number 7 or whatever number we're on if that were happening frequently.
Right.
Yeah, I'm now on the lookout, man. I'm interviewing for my sidekick.
It's really fun.
Yeah, but I just think I'm too painful. I don't think I'm going to get a sidekick. But do you find that you are able to compartmentalize your role as writers who are writing together as your career and then you being sisters? Do you find it bleeds into each other? Has it affected your relationship as sisters? Made it better? Made it worse? No?
I think not at all. I don't think I don't think it's affected it negatively in any way. And certainly it doesn't bleed into. I mean, writing is here, the sisterhood is here. And we can have a great time together and fun. And wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, we're very much business, but then all of a sudden, right, then we'll be like finish that and then we'll just say, okay, so what's going on? And then we just switch, you know, talk for 20 minutes about just what's happening in our lives and that kind of thing. And I mean, we both have agreed that our sister relationship is the most important thing. And so we would not, hopefully that will never happen because, you know, we've been best friends for forever and we're not about to let anything jeopardize that.
And that's it for today's episode. If you have any questions about writing or publishing, please email me at theshitaboutwriting@gmail.com and I'll do my best to get them answered for you. I hope you'll join us for next week's show. In the meantime, keep at it. Remember, it just takes one yes.
Here's the thing. Ever wonder why aspiring authors spend so much time trying to crack the code about how to get published? That's because no one who's in the daily grind like me has put all the pieces together in one place. It's Carly Waters here, and as your senior literary agent on the podcast with 15 years of experience in publishing, selling books, and teaching the business of publishing, I'm here to give you the clarity that will turn this hobby into a career. Inside my course, The Author's Publishing Playbook, we have monthly live Q&A sessions to cover your specific issues. But for the rest, there are over 40 video lessons that equal 10 hours of learning with professionally edited transcripts. The course will solve all your writerly problems, except write your book for you. That's on you. My course is a masterclass designed to teach writers how to prepare, pitch, publish, and promote their book in today's competitive publishing landscape. It's for career-driven writers, aspiring and published, who want to understand how to succeed in the business of books. There are over 20 worksheets, downloads, and plug-and-play templates for editing, querying, and marketing. You get lifetime access for the entire 6-module course as soon as you purchase. As new content gets added, you have access to that as well. Don't forget, there's a mobile app on top of computer access you can learn on the go. Get started today to gain the career you've only dreamed about. And you guys get a discount. So at checkout, carlywaters.com/course, use code POD15, that's code POD15 when you check out for 15% off. That's carlywaters.com/course. Use code POD15. That's code POD15 when you check out for 15% off. See you inside the course.
Hi, everyone. This is Cece. If you're a fan of books with hooks, then you've probably heard me use the term interiority. I often catch myself saying things like, these pages need more interiority, or the interiority here needs work. And that's because interiority is a super important element of storytelling. It's what makes books unique. But as it turns out, a lot of you have questions about what exactly is interiority and how to properly weave it into stories, which is why I'm teaching my popular Writing Interiority class in a new 2-day format. We'll meet on Thursday, June 6th at 8 p.m. via Zoom to cover all things interiority, including the difference between interiority and emotions, how interiority is different from telling, how to leverage interiority into plot points, how to strike a balance between interiority and mystery, and more. And then we'll meet again for a live cozy Q&A session on Monday, June 10th, also at 8 p.m. via Zoom, in which you'll have the opportunity to turn your camera on if you choose. If you're interested, check out the link in my bio on Instagram, and I hope to see you there.
Here's the thing. Ever wonder why aspiring authors spend so much time trying to crack the code about how to get published? That's because no one who's in the daily grind like me has put all the pieces together in one place. It's Carly Waters here, and as your senior literary agent on the podcast with 15 years of experience in publishing, selling books, and teaching the business of publishing, I'm here to give you the clarity that will turn this hobby into a career. Inside my course, The Author's Publishing Playbook, we have monthly live Q&A sessions to cover your specific issues, but for the rest, there are over 40 video lessons that equal 10 hours of learning with professionally edited transcripts. The course will solve all your writerly problems, except write your book for you. That's on you. My course is a masterclass designed to teach writers how to prepare, pitch, publish, and promote their book in today's competitive publishing landscape. It's for career-driven writers, aspiring and published, who want to understand how to succeed in the business of books. There are over 20 worksheets, downloads, and plug-and-play templates for editing, querying, and marketing. You get lifetime access for the entire 6-module course as soon as you purchase. As new content gets added, you have access to that as well. Don't forget, there's a mobile app on top of computer access you can learn on the go. Get started today to gain the career you've only dreamed about. And you guys get a discount. So at checkout, carlywaters.com/course, use code POD15, that's code POD15, when you check out for 15% off. That's carlywaters.com/course, use code POD15, that's code POD15, when you check out for 15% off. See you inside the course.
Hi, everyone. This is Cece. If you're a fan of books with hooks, then you've probably heard me use the term interiority. I often catch myself saying things like, these pages need more interiority, or the interiority here needs work. And that's because interiority is a super important element of storytelling. It's what makes books unique. But as it turns out, a lot of you have questions about what exactly is interiority and how to properly weave it into stories, which is why I'm teaching my popular Writing Interiority class in a new 2-day format. We'll meet on Thursday, June 6th at 8 p.m. via Zoom to cover all things interiority, including the difference between interiority and emotions, how interiority is different from telling, how to leverage interiority into plot points, how to strike a balance between interiority and mystery, and more. And then we'll meet again for a live cozy Q&A session on Monday, June 10th, also at 8 p.m. via Zoom, in which you'll have the opportunity to turn your camera on if you choose. If you're interested, check out the link in my bio on Instagram, and I hope to see you there.